Today is February 25th, 2009, and I'm Sarah Molesky. As part of the Rock Voices Oral History Project, we have Dr. Thomas Hannon with us. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, well, we were just speaking about a little bit of, about your background, and we found out that you grew up in Scranton, born and raised in Scranton. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about growing up in Scranton.
Well, I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. We were the only Irish people there. Now, next door to us were the Roddams, and everybody knows Hillary Rodham Clinton. And although she didn't live there, her aunt and uncle lived there. And so as a child, I can remember her when she came. Mm-hmm. And not too many of us, we were a little bit older than she, not too many of us cared very much for her when she came, but the Rodham family, George Rodham, lived right next door to us. And her dad is buried in the Washburn Street Cemetery. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when they were, right at the time he died, Hillary's father, this is Hugh Rodham. Mm-hmm. I knew who he was, but I didn't know him well. Mm-hmm. I had done research in that cemetery, and it was in atrocious shape. Mm-hmm. So I called the Scranton newspaper, the Scranton Times, and I told them who I was and what I had done and what I thought of the cemetery, and they did a crash cleanup job for that funeral. But I know exactly where he's buried, right by the fence.
What schools did you attend?
Well, as a youth or?
As a youth and then growing up.
Well, I grew up in Scranton and I went to William Penn number 40 school. I went to Ulysses S. Grant number 21. I went to George Bancroft number 34. I went to North Scranton Junior High School. And then I went to Scranton Central High School, from which I oddly enough graduated.
And so after you graduated from high school, where did you, what university did you go to first?
I went to, I was very much involved in music. Mm-hmm. And I went and I majored in music, in fact, at Mansfield. Then it was Mansfield State Teachers College. Now it's a sister institution, Mansfield University. But after 1 year, my second love, geography, sort of bit me. And I switched from music, still have, I still belong to the Musicians Union, but I don't play very much anymore except for self-entertainment. And I got my bachelor's degree in secondary education, geography and social studies, with a minor in English.
Okay. Yeah. So then after Mansfield, where you said that you got, you went to Pitt for your PhD in geography. How was going to Pitt and getting that?
Well, let's back up and put things in order. After I graduated from Mansfield, I taught for 1 year in Harpersville, New York, taught 9th and 10th grade social studies. And I never intended to stay there because I wanted to go on and do graduate work. I stayed there to get some money to go on and do graduate work. Interestingly, I saved 53 cents. And that's what I had when I got, my wife and I got married, that in 59, a year later. I had 53 cents in my bank account. So I went to, then I went to Penn State, and I was there 2 full years while my wife taught in the public schools of Bellwood, Pennsylvania, near Altoona. And so I did go to Penn State for 2 years, and I left there because we had a child, and went back to New York State, to Endicott, and gradually finished up my degree away from the university. Mm-hmm. Then I taught in Endicott until 1969, and then took a sabbatical to go work on my PhD at the University of Pittsburgh. When I got that, I went back to Endicott for 1 year, and then came here in 1970.
What is your affiliation with Slippery Rock University?
Well, I was hired in 1970 as an assistant professor, then became an associate professor and a full professor in the middle 80s.
What department did you work for when you were here?
Geography.
How was that?
Very good. Because of the trends in academia, of course, and the interest in the environmental movement that grew very heavily in 1970, we soon became the Department of Geography and Environmental Studies. And more recently, 4 or 5 years back, we became the Department of Geography, Geology, and Environment because we and geology merged. Mm-hmm.
What Slippery Rock era were you here for?
Well, it was, when I came here, it was Slippery Rock State College, and then it became a university in the, I forget the exact year, the middle 80s.
In 1983.
Yeah. Oh, that's close. Middle 80s.
Did the department that you were hired into change at all while you were here? Were they for the good or for the bad if they did change?
Well, I never really appreciated the marriage of geology and geography. While I have great respect for and love of geology, geography and geology are not the same, and therefore being in the same department, I don't view as all that good, but I'm sure that budgetary concerns had to be considered when that was done. There are trends within the discipline, within my own discipline, that I really kind of resisted, technological trends, away from what I consider to be the human trends in geography. I'm a cultural geographer, and so the things like historical geography and cultural geography, which is very close to anthropology, were much more my interest area.
What buildings did you work in while you were here?
I worked primarily in Spots, except when the front fell off the Spots building.
When did that happen?
Oh, gosh.
And what happened?
It was, I know roughly when it was. It was in the very early 90s that the whole section of Spots that you see from the library as you go out the front door began to pull away from the building. And so then I, while they repaired that, and it took, I would say, a year, I taught in Eisenberg, and just across the way. But I have been visiting. You know, I had been asked to teach courses in other buildings. I taught in the Ed Building a couple of times, and Strain. Interestingly, Strain was a geographer, Warren Strain, and yet they have what used to be the Behavioral Science Building. I don't know whether that's still Behavioral Science up there.
I think it's the Behavioral Strain.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. We everybody just calls it BSB.
Yeah.
That's how we know it.
Yeah. But mainly in Spots.
Yeah. And I was doing a little bit of research, and I saw that you taught at Trinity College in Dublin.
Yes.
How was that?
Well, I took students from here to Dublin 5 or 6 times. And we used the facilities at Trinity I wasn't on the staff at Trinity. But I did that with IUP. I taught in Salzburg, Austria. And I taught for Slipperhuck also in Scotland at Queen Margaret in Edinburgh. And I taught on exchange in Korea 10 years ago at this time, 1999. So I've been abroad. And Europe was my main area of interest when I was teaching. And so I've been to Europe many times. We had 2 Fulbright grants to Europe and research travel grants.
And I also saw that you're part of the summer programs overseas. What part did you have in that?
Well, I organized the courses I taught, and I wasn't the overall organizer. Mm-hmm. International Studies did that. Mm-hmm. But I taught the courses, or I designed the courses I taught. I taught the geography of Scotland in Scotland, and I taught geography of religion in Ireland, and also in Salzburg, Austria, and some other courses. But that's all. I didn't organize. You know, I told the bus drivers there where we wanted to go, but I'm not to be credited at all with organizing the whole thing.
What were your first impressions when you came here? You've been many places.
When I first came here, quite honestly, I did not like Slippery Rock. Now, I'm not talking about what became the university. I'm talking about the town and the town's ambiance. I thought it was too small. Mm-hmm. But in a year or two, it grew on me because I forced myself to travel about locally and learn some of the ethnic backgrounds and that kind of thing, which I needed for my doctoral research anyway. And I absolutely love the speech patterns around here, yins and that kind of thing. So I do like it, but I did not like the town immediately. I did like the college or university.
What changes have you seen in Slippery Rock?
Oh my God. In the university or the town?
In both.
Or both. Well, at the university, phenomenal growth. I think when I came here in 70, we had maybe in the high 3s or the low 4,000 students, maybe 4,000. Mm-hmm. Now what do we have, 8,500? Mm-hmm. And so all of the trappings that came with that growth, such as new buildings, I've seen buildings built that are now torn down. A Founders Hall, for example, was one. Mm-hmm. And moving away from the traditional kind of dormitory to what apparently students want today, these more modern, homey buildings, mm-hmm. it was a big change. The Happy Bus is a big change. Actually, I thought that should have been in existence long before it came into existence. In the town, the renovation of the downtown has made some very nice changes. The lifting of the ban on alcohol is, in my opinion, though I'm not a drinker in excess, I think it's a good idea. Mm-hmm. And the tavern, the brewery downtown is a good addition to the restaurant scene, as well as Ginger Hill. And even the hot dog shop out on the highway. Yeah.
What were some of your campus activities?
Well, I advised Gamma Theta Upsilon, which is the geography honorary, for 19 years, and turned that over to a colleague. I was also the advisor for Sigma sorority for...
I just joined it.
For 9 years. Mm-hmm. And those were more recent in my history here. I think I took that over probably in the middle 90s or early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I left here and that was the end of that. But as far as committees and that kind of thing, I served many departmental committees, college committees, and even university committees. The most important one, I think, was the University-Wide Promotions Committee, which I served from 83 to 85. And in fact, I was the chairperson of that committee in the 84-85 era.
What were some of your accomplishments while you were here?
Well, completing my PhD was an accomplishment, certainly. The reason I came here was to be close to Pitt. Mm-hmm. So I could, you know, because I had everything done except writing, and so I could run back and forth easily to Pitt and get advice and whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I was recognized as a very good teacher. I don't mean to brag, but many students took multiple courses with me, even though they were not in my major. Mm-hmm. And I always had very good student evaluations and good peer evaluations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the major reason why we're here. Mm-hmm. So that I view as a major accomplishment. I became pretty well known around the country in what I do, cemetery research, cemetery landscapes. Mm-hmm. And wrote several major papers. And I think those are significant accomplishments. Mm-hmm. But the most important one is, of course, teaching. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the whole staff is here for, is mm-hmm. to teach. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On a later note, what are some of your best and worst teaching moments?
Well, the best teaching moments was when I was teaching, because I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I still do. Mm-hmm. And when I felt that the students were grasping what I was doing and they participated, those were the best moments. Mm-hmm. The worst moments were, well, I can remember too vividly. I had, in the late 70s, a young lady tried to take her own life in my office with a razor blade. And I had, when I was advising Tri-Sig, a young lady hung herself in one of the apartments. And those are certainly worst moments. Mm-hmm. The gal who tried to take her own life went on, graduated quite successfully, and is now a success in what she does. But those were terrible moments. Mm-hmm. You know? And students having seizures in class, I don't know how many times that's happened to me. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things are never pleasant, but you have to deal with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure others have had as bad, if not worse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who were some of the leaders when you were on campus?
Well, when I came here, Dr. Wattrell was the president. And he left in the middle 70s, 76, or thereabouts. And so I view every president thereafter as a leader. I didn't always agree with what they may have done, but then again, I wasn't president. Mm-hmm. And the faculty union organized in the early 70s. And I view those people as leaders. Mm-hmm. Dr. McCoskey sticks in my mind most, mm-hmm. obviously. And Bill Taylor and some others.
Who were some people that have influenced you or were very significant to you while you were teaching here?
Well, my colleagues were certainly significant to me. And I'm not talking only about my immediate colleagues in my department, but colleagues I met in other departments. And I just mentioned Dr. Bill Taylor, who was in sociology. He and I became very close and still maintain ties. Of course, he only lives in Grove City. But my immediate colleagues with whom I worked day in and day out were great influences on my life, career.
What were some major events or activities that occurred while you were here? And they can include academic, cultural, building projects, anything like that?
Well, you know, the building projects have been ongoing.
That's the number one answer that we get from everybody.
Yeah. I think the impact that 9/11 had was most significant, not here, not only here, but throughout the country and indeed the world. The renovation of the downtown, I think locally, was a significant thing, and changes in the town-gown relationship, I think, have improved. But the most tragic thing was the tearing down of Burger King. No, I'm only kidding about that, but when Burger King came here, when Dr. Reinhardt was president, he was all excited about that. We're getting a Burger King, then it's torn down. But developments out there along the road to Grove City have been significant locally, certainly not nationally. But I think the university is gaining recognition in a number of fields is a very significant thing.
Do you miss anything about teaching here at SRU?
Oh my God, I miss it very much. Yeah. But I don't dwell on it. I thought I would. Because I'm so busy with a number of other things. Writing. I live in a house that was built well before the turn of 1900, so there's always something that has to be upgraded or repaired there, and I'm doing that. And I'm the curriculum director for the Institute for Learning and Retirement, which is affiliated with the university and uses the university facilities. And that keeps me very, very busy. And I teach there. Now, the only difference is I'm teaching older people. But the plus side of that is you've got people who are maybe more attentive than the 19 or 20-year-olds. But they don't have the vibrancy, of course, and I miss some of that. So I'm very, very busy, but I do miss teaching. And I have thought of, now I'm retired since 04, that'll be 5 years, so going on six. So I'm thinking of trying to get one course here or there at other institutions. La Roche, for example, or Westminster. And I'd like to do that, but not on a steady basis.
Yeah. Do you have any words of wisdom for us? Anything that you want any current or future ROC community and students to know?
Well, I think as far as faculty are concerned and administrators, they should do the best work they can possibly do in good conscience. And I think the students should devote most of their time to being students and do some serious studying, mm-hmm. because it's important in terms of shaping your career. Mm-hmm. And those would be, you know, the words of wisdom to this institution, but everybody knows those anyway. I think we have an outstanding faculty. I think the administration is very good, and I think they keep the goal of success in higher education mm-hmm. alive, or the spark alive, as it were. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what I have by way of words of wisdom. Not very prolific, but I think sincere.
Mm-hmm. How do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered by my former students who are now all over the world as a good teacher. Mm-hmm. And one who cared about some of their personal problems as well as academic problems. And I want to be remembered in that way by colleagues as well. And I want to be remembered as one who did a reasonable amount of scholarly work. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be okay. And I want my epitaph on my tombstone to say, "He's not here yet."
Okay. Well, I don't have any other questions for you. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, it's been a great 34 years here for me, and I enjoy my continued association with the university. And I stop in to see my old colleagues once every few weeks mm-hmm. and keep in touch, keep up on top of things. And that's essentially it.
Okay. Well, thank you for allowing me to interview you.
Well, thank you for my allowing you to allow me to be interviewed or whatever. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You also. Thank you.